Welcome to BS with CSR. My name is Blake Mitchmore. I'm the Bull. I guess that makes my partner Shane Shoemaker the
Chicago. Chicago.
That wasn't the S word I was thinking of. But let's move on to the news, Shane. Raw has dropped even lower in the ratings. They're down to just a little more than 3 million people watching each week. How do we fix this?
I mean, can you in the era that you're in right now? I mean, to me, you've kind of conditioned fans. You know, you're building your network with, you know, going back to the Attitude Era, this stuff with JBL and Bischoff, and, you know, you're constantly bringing the Attitude Era back. It's all we ever talk about. So you've conditioned your fans to wanting this somewhat Attitude Era back, but you're in this PG era. I don't know that you can fix it right now. I don't know. I mean, it's going to have to take an overhaul. I'm not saying bringing the Attitude Era back, but, you know, you've got to do something. And being it's 3 hours, that doesn't help either.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, that would be the biggest thing I would do is cut it back to 2 hours. I don't think you can bring the Attitude Era back we live in a very
PC,
I was going to say overly sensitive society now compared to back in the late 90s. But I do think there's, you know, I think there's a middle ground where maybe it could be a little more risque, I guess, or more adult oriented compared to just what it is right now. I don't know, but yeah. you heard rumors last week that Vince McMahon was furious at the ratings. We're going to get into Raw here in a minute, but they're not doing anything to make them better. That's for sure.
No. And, you know, I'm like you. I like the middle ground idea. I think that's possible. And they kind of play that way, but they kind of do it. I don't know. You know, to me, I don't know if you noticed this. To me, it seemed like there were a lot more curse words on Raw last night. I thought there was. I mean, maybe it just stood out more. Maybe it seemed like they were trying too hard. I don't know if that was just me.
Yeah, but I don't know. I'll have to go back and rewatch, but I didn't notice that. So let's go on to we touched on this last week. We know we're going to hell with Brock Lesnar. I mean, it starts, I guess October starts in 2 days. So the road to hell starts 2 days from now. Hell ends with Brock Lesnar and Undertaker at Hell in a Cell. But that means Brock Lesnar and Undertaker need opponents at WrestleMania 32. Let's hit the Brock list first. Last week we heard that the four reportedly – now let me stress reportedly because – we all know when it comes to wrestling media, half of it is not accurate. But reportedly, the four opponents being discussed for Brock are The Rock, Stone Cold Steve Austin, Seth Rollins, and Roman Reigns. What do you think, Shane?
When it comes to Brock, I don't think you're getting Rock. I still am not convinced The Rock's going to be there except for maybe in just some capacity that he was last year. To me, I think it's obvious that it's going to be Rollins. That's just my opinion, though, just because you've kind of set this whole thing, you know, a year to go, you know, from WrestleMania, you know, this past year. So it's got a year culmination where maybe Brock gets the title back, and obviously that's their moneymaker guy. And maybe even do, like, you know, Rollins and Reigns, you know, one of those guys wins the Rumble or something like that. I think that's Brock's best opponent.
I mean, there's a definite story between Rollins and Brock there, but I don't – do you think that Rollins is going to make it all the way to Mania with the title? Because I don't know that I do.
I do. I think they've been – I think they're really high on Rollins. I think they believe in him, you know, and I think he's growing each week, even though there's been some, you know, kickbacks here and there, I guess. But I think, you know, I think Triple H, Vince both believe in him. And I definitely don't see Sheamus cashing in. If he did, I don't think he would hold it long. So I think Rollins makes it a whole year. I think it's a classic heel thing to do because you'll be finally glad when, you know, Brock beats him.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I mean, to me, and I wrote about this on our website, csrwrestling.com, to me the no-brainer is The Rock because it's WrestleMania 32. You want it to be the biggest show of all time. That's the biggest match you can make. Brock draws in ESPN every single time they have a major pay-per-view. Rock's going to bring in Hollywood. But, you hear reports that Rock is, you know, again, let me stress, reportedly, that Rock is booked for WrestleMania 32 against Triple H. That is, like, set in stone, which, I mean
– Why?
It's yeah, exactly. It's okay. I'm sure it'll be a great match, but I don't really want to see it.
Yeah, I don't think that's a money match at all. I mean, I don't know. I mean, that match was money back in 1998-99 when they were feuding constantly. But, you know, nowadays, I agree with you. Brock Rock would be huge now because, you know, it's the former UFC guy versus the Hollywood guy now. And you know, media would eat that up. You know, Rock gets, you know, hits just for, you know, his dog passing away now just on every media website imaginable. So.
And, you know, everybody wants to see Stone Cold. I want to see Stone Cold. I'm sure you want to see Stone Cold. But Stone Cold came out this week and said reports of him fighting Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania are absolute bullshit. So when Stone Cold says bullshit, I'm going to stick with bullshit unless he's just playing all of us.
Yeah, I agree. I think Austin, you know, shoots from the hip there. I don't think he's going to be there at all. I don't think he wants to be there in a wrestling capacity. I don't think his body can hold, especially against Brock, you know, as kind of rough as Brock can or looks to be anyway. So no, I don't see Austin going at all.
All right, well, that's the Brock list. Let's jump into the Taker list because a Taker list showed up too, and reportedly the names for Taker are John Cena, which we've all kind of wondered if it wasn't going to be Sting. And now that Sting, we don't know if Sting's ever going to wrestle again, it looks like it's not going to be Sting for sure. So we've all heard John Cena. Seth Rollins is rumored for The Undertaker too, which, you know, I kind of get that because you can kind of have the CM Punk effect, which is a guy that'll work hard and create a bunch of movement and make Taker look really good. And then there's a wild card, which I'm not going to lie, this idea kind of intrigues me, but I don't think he's ready for a match like this, and especially with Taker at 50, because I don't know that Taker can carry somebody anymore. That name is Braun Strowman.
Yeah, they seem to be pushing Strowman pretty hard now, and especially already rumored to be in a match with The Undertaker, and that's pretty big, even on the, you know, the dirt sheets. That's pretty big. I think the appeal, you know, is the big guy, you know, the big scary guy versus another big scary guy type thing. You know, maybe like a Giant Gonzalez back at WrestleMania 9.
I was actually about to say that.
Yeah. It doesn't have the same appeal as the other ones do for me because, you know, obviously that's a clear Taker win. At least the others, especially Cena, I think gives the appearance of, you know, Taker could lose again. I mean, plus, I have to ask, does anybody want to see Taker much after this year? I mean, I don't think I do.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you hear the rumors that Taker really has his health has gotten a lot better and that, you know, like Jim Ross, I know you're a big Jim Ross podcast guy, and Jim Ross came out and said that he doesn't think he's going to retire after 32, that he may go for another couple more years and just work a part-time schedule. I really wish he would ride off into the sunset because – you know, Taker's had such a great career. I don't want Taker to be one of these guys that just holds on way too long, but you kind of get the vibe he might. I'll say this, and to close this topic down, the only way I'm into Braun Strowman at WrestleMania against The Undertaker is if he wears that Giant Gonzalez bodysuit.
Oh, I think we can all agree with that. Absolutely, yes.
All right, Shane, we learned something new about John Cena on Raw this week, and that's the fact that John Cena's booty, son. And I freaking love the New Day. They get better and better every freaking week, man.
Who doesn't love the New Day? I mean, if you don't like the New Day right now, you just stop. Just stop watching wrestling. Just stop completely. We don't want you because you're not booty. You're not booty at all. I mean,
I think we don't want them because they are booty.
Oh, well, yeah, whatever. You know, anyways. But, go ahead.
I mean, and I think, you know, I know everybody's a big fan of the John Cena U.S. Open Challenge because it brings out guys like Sami Zayn and all these guys. But I think, and I may be in the minority here, but New Day's about whether it's at Madison Square Garden Saturday or it's at Hell in a Cell in a couple of weeks, New Day's about to lose the titles to Dudley Boyz. We all know that. I think having one of them take the U.S. – cheating to take the U.S. title off of John Cena – and having them Freebird rule the U.S. title would be absolutely perfect. It's the next thing for them to maintain their high level and not get lost in the shuffle when they're not the champs, get them on another high-profile feud. It's perfect, and I think it was great, and I hope they don't screw it up.
Yeah. So do you think they go with New Day, pretty much New Day versus Cena at Hell in a Cell then? Like maybe, I don't know, maybe there's a gauntlet of U.S. Challengers or something. Well, I mean, since I even add them in another match, even though, you know, do you think they do that?
I don't think they'll do that just because I do think that whether, you know, obviously if they win Saturday, I think the Dudleys are, you're still going to get the Dudleys in the New Day in some form. Maybe, you know, maybe it's something where Kofi and Big E seem to always wrestle for the tag title. So maybe they all three come out at the beginning of the show and that opens the show and they cheat, have Woods win the U.S. title. And then, you know, something happens with the tag titles at the end. I don't know, but I like that idea, but I don't see that happening in Hell in a Cell just because they're going to have some kind of involvement with the Dudley still.
Yeah. Because you know, we're not real clear where Cena's going for Hell in a Cell yet. He's kind of just got an, you know, open in there, you know? So,
yeah, I will say that my favorite, and it was the very beginning of the freaking show, my favorite moment in a Raw all night was when Woods came, when the first thing you heard before the New Day music was Woods playing John Cena's theme song perfectly with a damn trumpet. I mean, that needs to be his gimmick. He did it with Rusev a couple weeks ago. Whoever they fight, he needs to figure out how to play their song on a trumpet and either play it when they come out, play it during the match if he's just, you know, out there doing his manager gimmick with Kofi and Big E. That has to be Xavier Woods' thing.
The only thing I will pick at that is, and I love the trombone, trumpet, whatever it is, I don't think he should be playing it as much during tag matches just because I think it takes a little bit away from the tag matches. Would you agree with that?
No, absolutely not.
Really?
He could play it more for me, and I'd love it.
See, I don't think he should play it as much. I think he should, maybe not. I mean, because it was hilarious when, like, Summer was doing it with him and all that stuff. But, you know, I don't know. It kind of takes me away out of the match a little bit. You know, even though Big E's gyrating in the middle of the ring, you know, it's – but to me, it takes me a little bit out of the match.
I see that, but here's where I differ and why I love it is because – that's what it's supposed to do, and that he's supposed to be that annoying little jackass on the side of the ring, and he plays that part perfectly.
I will agree with that. And one last thing on this, I thought the match with Xavier and Cena was a little sloppy. Would you agree on that?
Outside of house shows, I don't know that Xavier's wrestled in the last.
Well, that's true. Yeah, that's what I was wondering. I mean, how much has Xavier wrestled? I mean, I think this guy's going to be an excellent mouthpiece. Just as far as, I mean, he could be in the next manager if they wanted to bring managers back. He could be awesome.
Oh, I agree. I mean, it was sloppy. You're right, but I would just attribute that to the fact I do know that he, just from pictures and stuff I see, he does wrestle on house shows, but he never wrestles on TV ever.
No. I'm sure that's actually totally different.
Okay, Shane. I hate that I have to come on here every week. And
oh, you want to. You want to.
And bash this, but the Divas just pissed me off last night. And I hate to agree with this man, but Brian Gulish is dead on. Dead on. Charlotte sucks. She's horrible on the mic. All that crap last night between the, you know, pandering to the fans, you know, saying it was the fans that wanted the Divas Revolution. She's horrible. She's so forced, and it's making me hate her. And I wish I didn't because she really is probably the best, you know, wrestler, maybe outside of Sasha, which we'll talk about her in a second, but the best wrestler out of all of them. And I hate her more and more every week.
It is sad, you know, and you know, I don't know if you heard this, but, you know, Jim Ross compared her to Kurt Angle, you know, and as far as her abilities go, which is a huge, you know, compliment. I mean, I don't know if she's quite there yet.
I think for a female, I think that's a dead-on comparison. You know, if you watch some of her matches in NXT where she throws backflips and crap like that, you know, you don't, and she threw backflips and landed on her feet, which you don't see females do very often. She is an amazing athlete, but they are screwing up, which is just as big a part of, you know, the wrestling business. They're screwing up her character.
Yeah, because she's not, you know, I think I've read about this a couple times on CSRWrestling.com. She, you know, when I see her, she does everything that Rick does, as we all know. And when I see that, I miss Ric Flair, and I don't give a crap about Charlotte because it's a cheap imitation of Ric Flair. again, I miss Ric Flair. I know what Ric Flair did. I want to see him. And I don't give a crap what Charlotte's doing, because no one can be Ric Flair. No one. And she can't woo. I mean, the figure eight's cool. I'll give her that. I don't mind her chopping. But, my God, just stop. You're not your dad. And I'm sure that's not all on her. That's got to be creative. Just stop. Please stop.
I'd like to know, you know, he won't say it because he gets checks from the WWE, but I'd like to know what Rick's thoughts are, because before she got up to the main roster, Rick was vocal in saying that he didn't want her to be, you know, carry that Ric Flair, you know, albatross around her neck like she is, because it's not going to do her any favors. And they're, you know, they didn't, we talked about it last week with Brian. They didn't do it near as much in NXT, but they're jamming it down our damn throats on the main roster, and it's pissing me off. And the other thing that's pissing me off is I thought Paige turned heel last week. Why the hell is she wrestling with Becky and Charlotte?
Yeah, I mean, I know you could say she did the run out at the very ending, and but, I mean, if she really hated them and couldn't stand them, why would she be in the ring with them? Why? Why would she be there?
It makes no sense.
It makes not a bit of sense. I mean, the bigger thing she could have done there was, like, if, as soon as the match started, walk out then, or turn on their other two and then have them get pinned.
And then what the hell is Natty doing? Natty just ran down there like she was going to get on the apron and, like, just join in the match and be – it's going to be Team NCB now instead of Team PCB.
Oh, yeah. That would be awful. I mean, I like Natty. I think Natty's awesome, and she should have been in this part of, quote-unquote, Divas Revolution, because, you know, she sort of was with the NXT stuff. But, yeah, it's like they're trying to find a place for her and the rest of them, and it's just not working.
Stop with the – I've said it for weeks now. Stop with the damn teams. Just go back to women's wrestling. You have women now. I know the IWC, if they listen to us, are going to, you know, just barbecue me for this, including the Bellas that can give a decent match. So why are we doing all these damn tag matches? You're ruining the moment. The little bit of momentum you had by bringing these three girls up is gone because you keep jamming damn teams down our throat. Just stop it. Please, Vince McMahon, listen to this podcast and stop it.
It may stop after Survivor Series. That's what I've been saying all along. That's sad that they're just
two
doing
more months.
I know. And you're going to have to put up with it, and you're going to love it.
I might have a heart attack by the end of two more months if I keep having to come on here and scream about this every week. So let's get on to something that is good. Right, hold on. I forgot. See, they're so left out that I've already forgotten about them. You like how I fixed that transition, by the way?
Oh, yeah. You did good.
Where the crap was Team Bad? Sasha Banks may be the best top-to-bottom character ring, all of it, out of all of them. She's not even on TV, you know, every week because you saddled her with the dead weight of Tamina and Naomi.
She's such a huge, you know, she's had such a big spotlight on her. She automatically took over for Team Bad when she got in there. You know, you didn't care about the other ones anyway. But you automatically, you know, started caring for her more than the rest of them because, like you said, she's best in-ring, mic, I mean, personality, everything. She owns that boss gimmick. The only reason I can somewhat think that they're not kind of focusing on her right now is they're putting kind of the focus on her in that Iron Man match that they're doing for NXT. That's the only reason I can think of, and because, you know, they're trying to keep it separated from that. That's the only reason I can think of, though.
Well, that's stupid. So let's get on to something that's better. Something that was, you know, I guess a small highlight of a pretty overall bad Raw. I dig the team of – I like the direction they're going with Braun Strowman and Luke Harper. I think that we're headed for a Dudley's versus Strowman and Harper for the tag titles, and I dig it.
I think might have been you, Justin, both, I don't know, talked about those guys should have been a tag team. You know, they've got to be in that tag team division all along. If the Wyatts want to, like, take over and, you know, take over the whole roster and do that, I mean, then why are they not going for the tag titles? And plus, you know, they've got good tag teams right now, you know, and that should be one of them. Now, I'm not totally convinced the Dudleys are winning yet. I know you're all about that. I don't know why, but I'm not. But I think because – you know, we got TLC coming up in December, too. And I know that's a while.
But the Dudleys will have the titles then.
Yeah, I still think the New Day holds on to him. I still think they like the New Day have them, and I don't know why, but I think you might see a triple threat TLC match. That's just me fantasy booking way in advance, but I don't know. I'm still holding on the New Day holds on tag titles, but going back to the team, they're great. They need to be in that division.
I do think that I think you are on the right track with the TLC match with the Dudleys involved at TLC, but between Madison Square Garden, which they keep hyping Dudley's versus New Day for the tag titles, or Hell in a Cell, they're coming out of them. One of those two events, they're coming out with the belts. Yeah. But the Strowman and Harper thing, and I'll tell you why I really love it, is we all know that Strowman is very, very green. And Luke Harper is, as far as a big man goes, and no, he's not an Undertaker or a Kane big man, but the dude is like 6'8", 350. Mm-hmm. As far as a big man goes, he's one of the best working big man I've ever seen. And so working with a Luke Harper every single night will do nothing but help Braun Strowman, and could get Braun Strowman, you know, could get Braun Strowman to the level to where he might not embarrass himself if they do book him against Undertaker at WrestleMania 32.
Yeah, I mean, you know, like we mentioned earlier, you know, doing the picks, they're high on Strowman right now. And, you know, they're doing the whole Mexico thing against the Brothers of Destruction. So they're high on this team, and especially Strowman. And, of course, we know how, like, Vince McMahon loves the big guys like that. So, there's nothing – I think the sky is honestly the limit for this team. I think they're going to be really fun to watch.
All right, so let's talk about the leader of the Wyatt family for a minute, because, hey, all Raw, we heard, into the feud, into the feud, into the feud, into the feud. Then there was no freaking victor in the Reigns versus Wyatt match.
Yeah, why? I mean, the match was built all night, which, by the way, I loved how they actually put that in the main event. It was very different than what they've been doing on Raw, even though Raw was a complete dumpster fire, basically. It was hot, hot, hot garbage. But, you know, the match was good. The match was really good. You know, they worked well, and especially, you know, the crowd finally got on their feet towards the end. But I'm like, why did they not end it? I mean, this is obviously going to keep going, I think. I mean, wouldn't you think so? I mean,
I think it has to now with that ending. It has to.
Would they go Hell in a Cell? Do you think they're the other? I mean, I think there's only going to be one Cell match, and it's Brock and Taker.
Well, but, you know, I think a Hell in a Cell match would be perfect. But, you know, I agree with what Justin said today, or maybe he said it last night on Raw Reaction. When you're marketing Brock and Taker, you don't want to have another cell match.
No, they're the main thing. They need to keep that way.
Yeah. So, I mean, maybe you go some kind of other gimmick match, last man standing, you know, falls count anywhere, something other than that. But it was just like the match itself was great. I mean, you know, they went from the Buffalo crowd sucked first and foremost, and they sucked for most of that match, but by the end of the match, Reigns and Wyatt had them. I mean, they were chanting yes at the end of the match, but then they throw us with that. The spot was great, but when you had the announcers build it all night long as the end of the feud to not come to a resolution was just weird.
Yeah, I'm like you. I definitely see Last Man Standing. That would make a lot of sense for the way it ended.
All right. I'm excited about this because I have to come on here and say first off, I dogged out the Big Show last week. And I'm still not a huge fan of it, but I got to admit, after last night with the video package they put together for Brock and Big Show and the ambulance segment with Kane, I am kind of buying in a little bit. Do I think – oh, let me first say that when I say the word buying in, do I think Big Show or Kane are going to beat Brock Lesnar and Seth Rollins? Absolutely hell no. But I do buy into them as legitimate contenders, and it's all about presentation.
First of all, I'm going to say, you know, you had a good column. You had a good column, and what you make some valid points today. But if, you know, and this isn't even my BS moment, but I'm calling BS on this. This is total crap. Both of these are total crap. How can you like this? I mean, I don't believe either one of these guys. Are you kidding me? I mean, Kane, I mean, I'll admit, he's funny. He's kind of changing his way.
The funny thing did not buy me. Dude, the ambulance scene where he stops, he gets out and then like stomps out his broken leg and then just start. That was bad ass.
That was the opposite of that. It was garbage. I mean, I'm sorry. Once he got up out of the ambulance, I was like, okay. And then he just, snaps. Of course, it's a work anyway, but he snaps his leg back into place. You bought that? You were excited for that?
Yeah, I was like, sitting on the couch, I was like, that's pretty cool.
Oh, my God. What? Oh, my God. What is wrong with you? I mean, Kane, first of all, just nothing about Kane is believable now at all. I mean, he's just a shell of himself. I know he's older. We're going to get that. I mean, and I know this is kind of a feud just to, to get Rollins through the next couple months or whatever. And, just to give Rollins another win. But Kane is garbage. Everything about him is garbage. The snapping his leg back to place is just terrible. This isn't my BS moment, but it is a BS moment by you, Mr. Mitchell Morris.
Absolutely not. And the, I said in my column for CSR on Tuesday, Big Show beating Cesaro, I hated. Big Show beating Mark Henry didn't do a whole lot for me. But that package they put together for Big Show versus Brock, where you remember all the times Big Show actually was dominant, I was kind of like, wow, Big Show's pretty good. I'm into it. I'm into Big Show.
You must be sick. You just
no. I'm not sick.
You're something's wrong with you.
What this proves is that WWE, when they want to, can make anybody believable. Which asks the question: why the hell can't they do it with guys like Cesaro or anybody else that they've screwed around for the last 3 years? Because in one night, in 2 minutes with each guy, they make Big Show and Kane look legitimate again.
Big Show doesn't look relevant at all. You can't. There's no way. I'm sorry. Now, video packages are fantastic, and they do wonders sometimes. I'll admit that their video production team is fantastic. But Big Show, I mean, you go from, pretty much jobbing to The Miz and Ryback and all that crap, and I don't understand this. Big Show's dominant one time, then he's not. I mean, I don't buy anything that he does anymore.
Okay, let me ask it to you this way, and this is how we'll close down this portion of the show. You and I both consume a lot of wrestling. If you had not been watching for a long time and you turned on Big Show's match with Mark Henry and then the Big Show promo, and then you saw that segment with Kane where just the portion I'm talking about where this big, mass, gigantic dude comes out with a limp and then just horror movie style stomps his broken leg back into place. If you were just a casual fan that didn't watch Raw, what would your reaction be?
Okay, on the Kane one, I still think it's hot garbage. The leg thing was just terrible. They lost me there. I mean, again, I know it's wrestling, I know it's work, but that was terrible. Now, the Big Show thing, I may give you that one. I may give you that one if I'm just I catch Raw periodically. I may give you that one because, he's still 7 foot, he's huge. They play the video. I'll give you that one. I'll give you that one.
I think for the casual fan, that was perfectly done. And if you do not, that's the problem right now. We talked about it at the top of the show. There's only 3 million people watching Raw right now. It's all fans like us, hardcore fans that watch every single week and consume wrestling on the internet and the WWE Network and all this stuff. If you're not one of those fans, that kind of segment grabs you when you're watching. And that's why it was great. And that's why WWE did a good job. I'm right. You're wrong.
I think you just love TNA type storylines. I think that's
what it is. TNA's never done anything that good. Never. No. You know what time it is. We close every show with BS moments of the week. Shane, hit me with yours.
Lazy, lazy booking. My BS moment is nothing more than 6-man tag team matches. Oh, my gosh. Can you have any more of these on Raw every week? Even pay-per-views. I mean, I understand pay-per-views, whatever. But it's every week, and now it's multiple. And, like, it's just the setting up. I mean, you can't even have a regular match anymore because you're going to have a run-in, and it's going to set up a 6-man or even a 6-woman now. It's every single week. I just want one Raw. Just one. One piece of crap Raw episode. I don't even care since they've all sucked late, especially this one. just give me one with not one six-man tag match. It's lazy booking.
Yeah, I can't really argue with that. It's lazy booking. It's house show booking is what it is. I mean, it's, you know, that's house show 101. You put all the faces on one team, you put the heels on the other, and you send everybody home happy. So I don't really get it. I mean, I don't know if it kind of started, you know, as we started to kind of trend toward this fall dead period, but yeah, it sucks. You're right.
Yeah.
All right. Why the hell did King Barrett come back? King Barrett, everybody that has ever watched wrestling, that will watch wrestling in the future, that King Barrett was an utter failure. I mean, for God's sake, he spent 2 months fighting R-Truth over a plunger.
Yeah.
So he had a gimmick in Bad News that worked, and actually before he got hurt for the 18th time, was pushing him up the card again. So instead of maybe going back to that gimmick and seeing, hey, if we can, you know, recreate the magic of Bad News and get that going, we go back to the gimmick that absolutely sucked? How does that work?
Yeah, it's BS. I don't know why they chose this. I mean, well, not that he needed to, but he didn't come out with any of his king attire, and his royal attire or anything. But, you know, why not bring Bad News back? Why? I mean, you know, the guy's been repackaged a couple times now, or, you know, being heard or whatever. The King thing doesn't work anymore. I don't know if it can work for anybody again. You know, it's a very, especially the way they do it now, it's a corny, just cheesy gimmick, especially for someone like Barrett, who, you know, is the, you know, the, I think it was the bare knuckle brawler or something like that. I don't know, but the guy could be a star. You know, and they're just not pushing them in that way, and they keep giving them these cheesy, corny gimmicks.
Well, you know, and I'll even come up with a compromise. I mean, if you wanted to do the King thing, why not make him freaking King Bad News, so at least he can do the cool part of his gimmick? King Barrett just sucks, and you're ruining this guy, and it's total BS, and I'm starting to get a headache.
Oh yeah. You look stressed about it. I can tell.
I don't get it. You know, this guy was good. Yeah, he's injury prone, but you know what? You give Ryback 18,000 chances to prove that he can get back to the main event. Why not give King Barrett one? Dang it.
I agree. We all hate King Barrett. Basically, bring back. We want Bad News back. We want to hear some bad news.
And I'll say this: if you're gonna keep King Barrett, I'm afraid I've got some bad news for Wade Barrett's career. It ain't going nowhere.
It's over.
All right, that's it for this week. Next week, make sure you check out the show next week. We got a big NXT TakeOver special, and we're going to be recording that night. It will be available late Wednesday night. We'll have a special guest. If you listen to the Justin LaBar show, you know the man. Intern Juice will be on the show with us. And we'll be reviewing NXT TakeOver Respect, highlighted by the big, I think it's first ever, Iron Woman's match.
I believe so. I believe you're right.
All right. That's it for Shane. Follow Shane at SShoemaker24. Follow me at Blake Mitchmore. Thanks for hanging out. We'll catch you next week. Look at the sky. Another hairspray prom queen. So young and so insecure.